You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. As COVID-19 cases spread through the U.S. and Idaho, we want you to know that we are committed to keeping you up to date and informed with the facts. So right now, here is what we know. There are 5 confirmed cases in Idaho. You can always get updated information on cases as well as closures and really how to stay healthy at any time. Just go to our coronavirus blog. You can go to BoiseStatePublicRadio.org to learn more there. Tomorrow, we are interviewing 3 people in Idaho's healthcare system on the front lines of the coronavirus outbreak here in our state. And we want to hear your questions. We are going to have them answer your questions, your concerns. So if you have a question, a concern, maybe you have a story about COVID-19, we want to hear from you. You can call this number and leave a voicemail, 208-426-3625. Again, that is 208-426-3625. And we might use your question or your story on our show tomorrow. But right now, we're going to consider the economic impacts that Idaho is already seeing because of this health crisis. Joining us live to help us understand the effects of small and large businesses so far is journalist Don Day of BoiseDev.com, along with reporter Alejandra Berrago of the Idaho Mountain Express. Thank you both for coming in and joining us.
Hello.
Thanks for having me.
So, Alejandra, I want to start with you because some of the biggest news out of the Wood River Valley this weekend was the Sun Valley Ski Resort deciding to close its doors. So how do you think that will impact, that area?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, initially they had said that they would remain open until their close date of April 12th. And yesterday they made the decision to close. And since then, it's been a little bit of a whirlwind. I did speak a little bit with Executive Director Harry Griffith this morning with the Sun Valley Economic Development. And he said, obviously, it's extremely soon to put any predictions of what this will do long term to our economy. But I can say that depending on the season, whether or not we're in slack, 40% of workers here are tied to the tourism industry, and the tourism industry itself makes up roughly 78% of our economy, and those are based on 2018 numbers from Sun Valley Economic Development. So we are taking this day by day.
And Don, let's bring you into the conversation. I mean, we know about some big events like the Sun Valley Film Festival, Tree Fort. We're going to be talking to the folks from Tree Fort actually later on in the show today. But what do we know so far about like local businesses, especially the service industry, and how they're responding to closures and postponements? I mean, we had the Big Sky Tournament canceled. As we said, Tree Fort's moving to September. We're already potentially seeing ripple effects.
Yeah, and I think that the guidance from health officials is to just avoid crowds. In fact, the CDC came out yesterday and said any gathering larger than 50 people outside of schools should not happen. And most restaurants in downtown Boise on a Friday or Saturday night have 50 people or more. And so I think beyond the reaction from the businesses, frankly, so far, not a lot of outward reaction or announcements from local businesses. You have guidance for people to avoid those situations, and I think a lot of people are heeding that. Tomorrow is St. Patrick's Day, which traditionally is one of those events that brings people out to go downtown Tuesday night,
yeah.
Right? And that's one of the stories that I'm tracking is, how are the operators of bars, restaurants, and other businesses reacting right now?
And we've seen just through social media this weekend quite a few restaurants in particular who are making sure people know that there is like to-go options or online. I mean, they're trying to continue their business, but also, I mean, really help folks who maybe need that option.
It's interesting. I talked to Bill Connors, the Boise Metro Chamber, and we'll talk about that in a second, but I was talking to my wife after I talked to him kind of about what you just mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
And the to-go option is a phenomenal option to get food from these establishments to people. But, it means that the bussers aren't needed. A lot of the wait staff might not be needed. And as we talked about on this program on Friday, those wage workers are a big part of our local economy, and they're already suffering from our housing shortage. And this is kind of a 1-2 punch. And so while those efforts are valiant and good, and hopefully restaurants that are geared to do online order and delivery through, DoorDash or Postmates or one of the apps, we'll see increased business. It I don't imagine is going to mean that they're going to be able to keep every single person mm-hmm. employed. And even if they are employed, a lot of these are tip workers, and the tips aren't going to be there.
Yeah. Right.
So
Alejandro, with the Sun Valley Film Festival canceling and as you mentioned, the ski resort closing, have you heard from hotels in the area? Because I am assuming we're talking about numerous cancellations, you know, in that arena as well.
Yeah, there's definitely been a decline in people booking as well as people canceling. We don't know any specific numbers at the moment. But, you know, a lot of businesses were preparing for at least one more month of busy ski economy, and that's coming to a screeching halt. So at this point, you know, everybody is kind of just treading water and hoping that, you know, there'll be a resolution at some point soon. There's a lot of organizations that are trying to set up resources for small business owners to be able to continue paying their employees, and that's something that's just developing. Same thing here as in the Boise area. They've started offering to-go food at a lot of the fine dining restaurants, and from what I'm hearing from the restaurant industry, they're also playing it hour to hour and day by day in terms of closure or not.
And Alejandro, I was up there a couple weeks ago, and I always just chatting with business owners, and I understand that a lot of businesses had a really good winter season. Do you think that that maybe gives them a cushion as we go forward?
Yeah, I mean, I think we, regardless of the snow collection that we had over the season, we did have a pretty good, strong economy throughout the winter, according to local option tax receipts. So I think I'm hoping that, you know, business owners will be able to ride that wave a little bit longer. But as you said, those people that are the bussers and that really are the servers and work on based on tips, it's really unclear. I mean, a lot of those people, particularly here in the Valley, they live paycheck to mm-hmm. paycheck, and it's going to be a day to day to, you know, see what's going to happen next and who's going to offer support for them.
You know, it's interesting though, when you think about in the Wood River Valley or even McCall, these are communities that are driven very much by tourism and by certain seasons of the year. And especially Sun Valley, I think that they also know how to ride the wave of when you have that, you know, downturn, right? Yeah. When winter's over, then you kind of have a downturn. But Don, that may not necessarily be the same thing for somewhere like the Treasure Valley. And talk a little bit more about your conversation with Bill Connors today with the Boise Metro Chamber of Commerce.
Yeah, and it was really interesting. And you know, his message essentially was, let's find ways to support our small businesses. And we've seen some of those on social media and people really boosting some of these efforts by gift cards. So if you frequent maybe a downtown merchant like a Mixed Greens or something, you could buy a gift card that you could use later. That helps their cash flow and keeps them up, and you'll still get the value of those goods. Use those takeout options like we talked about. And events, you know, I had a small event planned for next month, and I've had to pull that off the table. Connors really encourages folks to not cancel the events, but reschedule them. I talked via email a little bit last week with Pat Rice, who's the executive director of the Boise Center. They host a lot of events, national, regional, and local. And, you know, obviously with guidance last week on events larger than 250, they canceled some things. Their Butte and Boise kind of St. Patrick's Day celebration they canceled. But he said that they so far have been able to reschedule a lot of events for slots later in the year. So his team is really working to do that, to not cancel, but to try and find new places mm-hmm. for these things to go so that we can still eventually have that economic impact. Best case, this will clear up in the next few weeks. Some of these temporary restrictions will lift, and maybe the back half of the year we can recoup mm-hmm. a lot of this and just have a really hot back half to make up for the quiet time now.
But I think the thing to remember too is you brought up a good point about a lot of these events, right? A lot of them are fundraisers for local nonprofits. I mean, this is kind of the season, right?
Yes.
Where we start to see these events. And remember, a lot of times, think about maybe not asking for a refund, right? Like if you've bought a ticket, even if maybe they can't reschedule. I mean, if you have the means, and we understand that that is a big part of it. But did Bill talk about that at all? Because especially with nonprofits, we don't want to see them going under.
Yeah, and in fact, Funzie, which is a big every other year fundraiser here in the Treasure Valley that's been going on for decades, they have postponed their gala. They were supposed to benefit the Peregrine Fund this year. And so I think we are seeing those impacts, and people are trying to hold on. For that small event, I had hired a planner to help me, and I said, you know what? Hey, keep the retainer fee. We'll reschedule this at another point, because even though I'm a small business, she's also a small business. So trying to keep that invested with the idea that we'll bring it back around, and I think we all can play a role in that where possible. And I understand that everybody has a different situation, but looking for ways that we can keep cash pumping into our local economy is important.
And Alejandro, you had a chance to talk to some local economists this morning, right? What were they saying about maybe long-term impacts on the restaurant industry, maybe ski resort, you know, just that long-term forecast?
Yeah, so I did have a chance this morning to speak with Harry Griffith, and he's the executive director for Sun Valley Economic Development, which really works to create sustainable long-term economic development here in the Wood River Valley. And again, he said that it's, you know, still too early to tell long-term what the effects will be, but he made it very clear that because this is a very targeted, service-oriented community, there's going to be a very serious and immediate economic impact on individuals who just simply are not positioned to sustain themselves long-term without a job. So he also encouraged the same thing, that people who can still afford it, go and buy takeout food, go and buy gift certificates from their local shops in order to give them a little bit of a cash flow revenue in the next coming days. But at the same time, it's not going to trickle down to, you know, the waiter and the bus staff who work at the restaurants in town.
And Don, before we go, I do want to ask you this question about grocery hauls really quick, because when we looked at Winco in particular in Boise, but in Nampa, I mean, basically the Treasure Valley,
sure,
devastated by shoppers this weekend. But then on the flip side, a lot of the Albertsons still, I mean, less busy, had maybe some more offerings. Is it really that cost difference that we're seeing? I mean, it's cheaper to shop at Winco, and many people, that is where they can shop.
Maybe. I think it's hard. Somebody made a point on social media that it would be expensive to stock up and hoard at an Albertsons. And I mean, I can't get into the price dynamics. They are different, and they have different pricing strategies. Mm-hmm. So Albertsons does what's called high-low, which means some prices are lower and some prices are higher. I do think it's going to be interesting. I'm trying to put some reporting into that. I think the big thing, frankly, I was at two different Albertsons stores yesterday for different reasons, and late in the day, boy, the shelves were starting to get a little picked over and a little thin, not like what you've seen on social media at Winco. The big question, and it's important to emphasize that Governor Little said yesterday, we're not going to run out of food. But these shelves are bare, and so what are the logistics operations at Winco and Albertsons, which frankly have stores all over the country and are based here? What are they doing to get those shelves replenished and get stock back up? You know, I know we've had the kind of famous run on toilet paper, and that's not maybe a vital necessity to stock up on, but people are stocking up on other things. And, you know, I felt it. I was buying dog food yesterday, and I was at Petco, and I was on the phone with my wife, and I said, oh, you know, there's only 6 bags here. Should I get 2? And she said, no, we shouldn't hoard. And I was like, you know what? You're right. I'm just going to buy 1 bag. It's what I need. We've got a little bit of the last bag left. It'll last us a month. We'll be okay. So we all have to kind of...
It's almost taking that step back, right?
To step back and just pause and say, no, you know, even if we were to go into some sort of isolation for a while, I can feed my dog for a month and a half, you know, and to keep that in perspective and to not buy that 2nd bag or 3rd bag or whatever it is of any product. Get what you need. The governor said a couple, 3 weeks of a supply is all you need. Beyond that, it's just not.
And please don't hoard baby formula. There are people who this is the only means that they have to feed their infant children, and they have to have it.
Yeah, it's a vital, and a lot of these things are vital, right?
Right.
And I think that's the tricky part right now, is we are seeing some runs on goods. And so we'll know more, and I think there's people working to report and keep people up to date, and we all have to work together. I think that's the message, right?
This is absolutely
a societal challenge that we all play a part in.
We are figuring out how connected we are, right?
As we isolate, right?
I want to thank both of you for talking with us today. We've been talking with Don Day with BoiseDev.com. Don is keeping up on this on a daily basis, and Alejandro Betro from the Idaho Mountain Express. Alejandro, thank you for talking to us about what's going on in the Wood River Valley.
Thank you so much.
And remember, tomorrow we are interviewing three people on the front lines here in Idaho when it comes to the coronavirus outbreak. They're going to be answering your questions. You can send us a voicemail, 208-426-3625. This is Idaho Matters.